Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. This is Ecclesiastes Part 6. Victor Thorne, on August 1st, 2016, a well-known Clinton researcher, author of many books exposing Clinton crimes, and writer for the American Free Press, was found dead by a gunshot wound on a mountaintop near his home. It was called a suicide. He wrote the Clinton Trilogy, three definite works that delved into the history of the power couple, including their sordid scandals, Bill Clinton's sexual assaults of multiple women, and the drug running out of Mena, Arkansas, while Clinton was governor of the state. It was in his book, Hillary and Bill, the murder volume, that perhaps the original Clinton body count first appeared. His latest book, Crowning Clinton, Why Hillary Shouldn't Be in the White House, had been doing incredibly well at the time of his death, and many of his fans and supporters believed that his criticism of the Democratic presidential nominee cost Victor Thorne his life. Then there's Sean Lucas. He was found dead on a bathroom floor one day after Victor Thorne's death. Lucas is best known for his serving notice to the Democratic National Conference and Debbie Wasserman Schultz of a class action lawsuit for fraud and rigging the primaries against Bernie Sanders. And you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned her position and then was hired by Hillary Clinton to be her campaign manager. Joe Montana, third person, a top aide to vice presidential candidate and previous chairman of the DNC before Wasserman Schultz. Tim Kaine, he supposedly died of a heart attack on July 25th. Right after the WikiLeaks email dump exposing the DNC rigging of primary elections. Then, Seth Rich, a member of the DNC National Committee, was gunned down July the 10th, 2016. According to reports, Rich was beaten, repeatedly shot, and killed while walking home early last month. Washington, D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier stated during a news conference that the incident could have been an attempted robbery, although Rich's wallet, watch, and phone were never taken. Rich was involved in creating application, helping voters find their voting precincts, and may have had direct knowledge of voter fraud. John Ash, a former United Nations official, died while lifting weights when a barbell fell and crushed his throat. Ash was set to testify in a Chinese bribery scheme that would have led right back to the Clintons. Ash and a Chinese businessman, Naglapsing, was accused of smuggling $4.5 million into the United States and lying about what it was going to be used for. It was first said that he died by a heart attack that caused the weights to fall in his throat, but that was later eliminated. It is classified as just a weightlifting accident. Bernie Sanders wasn't killed by the Clintons, but you know that he just bought a vacation home for $600,000 in Vermont. No wonder he was so satisfied and didn't complain at what happened at the Democratic National Convention. I always wondered about that, as people were all protesting. All of his socialist supporters' contributions of $27 paid off. Or he was paid off. Hillary Clinton is being sued by the parents of two of the sons who were killed in the Benghazi Libya attack that happened in 2012. They accused Clinton, saying that her extreme carelessness in handling confidential and classified information while Secretary of State contributed to conditions that led to their son's death. This is just the stuff that has happened in the last 2 months. Enough of the ugly shades of political life in the United States. Let's get on with why all this is happening. This is the gist of today's sermon. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, had a thought-provoking article on his website, which is titled nationalnews.com. They have rigged everything, he wrote. What exactly is rigged? The entire mainstream media, Google search engine and Google News, Facebook and Twitter, the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention, both 100% rigged by globalists, every federal agency, EPA, FDA, and so forth, the entire justice systems, makes a total farce of real justice. Interest rates and the value of the money supply, central bankers, academia, all public universities, EPA safe limits on pesticides, all rigged by big biotech, food and food labeling, all run by corrupt food companies, public education, rigged in the Common Core anti-knowledge idiocy, banking and finance, all controlled by globalists, government economic figures and statistics, medicine and pharmaceuticals, rigged to maximize profits, big science, totally rigged by government agenda pushers, the music industry, most top singers can't sing at all, weapon manufacturers and war corporations, the illegal drug trade, it's run by the government, political elections, all 100% rigged at the federal level. Trump is bringing that up now. Political polls, now rigged by Reuters, too. The health insurance industry, rigged by Obamacare. College admissions, legally discriminates against whites and Asians. 9/11 and domestic terrorism, all rigged official stories. Oil and energy industries. The rule of law, rigged in favor of the rich and powerful. Infectious disease and Center for Disease Control, a constant stream of lies. Hollywood, all run by globalists. Climate change science, all a grand science hoax. Press release services, they only allow official narratives. History, which you taught is mostly a lie. Government grants, only given out to those who further the agenda. Government bids, only awarded to those who kick back funds to corrupt officials. The origin of the universe, the official narrative is a laughable fairy tale. That's quite a list. What more could be rigged? Well, Mike Adams left out a very important institution that is rigged, the so-called Christian churches. Roman Catholic, Mormon, Universal, Jehovah's Witness, Lutheran, Church of Christ, Christian, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Puritan, Pentecostal, Vineyard, Cornerstone, Crossroads, Seventh-day Adventist, Greek Orthodox Catholic, and so on and so on and so on. None of these churches today teach the basic tenets of what Jesus taught. Whether mainstream, fringe, orthodox, large, small, medium, they all teach a multicultural doctrine. They are mainly 501c3 state churches. Many of them don't even teach what their churches taught 200 years ago. In fact, they have repented of it. And many of them are not even that old. In Iowa, which is where you're going, they are suing the government so that the 501c3 churches can preach against homosexuals and transgenders. The government has stated that they are not allowed to do this in a public service, and that they must allow a person of another sex to use the other gender's bathroom if they declare that is what gender they feel like. It doesn't matter what they believe God says is right. The United States government has already determined what is correct. The problem is they had a pastor from Iowa on the website giving his short recap of the things his church believes. And he ended with this, quote, "My church hates nobody," unquote. But shouldn't a church hate what the God they are worshiping hates? Shouldn't we like what he likes, and shouldn't we hate what he hates? Does God like or hate homosexuals and transgenders? Most of the churches are Judeo-Christian in theology. Many teach directly opposite doctrines from each other. For example, one church teaches that God loves everyone in the world unconditionally. Another teaches that God loves only his elect and hates the rest. Most are confused about the many different ideas floating around, and lifelong churchgoers are often as confused as everyone else. In a book called Shocked by the Bible, the author depicts things that are in the Bible that the average Christian person is unaware of. For example, that Christmas and Easter, the two most popular Christian holidays, are not in the Bible. Elijah and Elisha, both prophets of God, each raised a boy back to life. A third resurrection in the Old Testament came when a dead body came in contact with the bones of the prophet Elisha, and the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. Jesus resurrected a widow's son and raised a 12-year-old girl back to life again. Lazarus was resurrected after 4 days. And dead followers of Christ came back to life and proceeded out of their tombs at the time of Jesus' own resurrection from the grave. Tabitha was raised from the dead through Peter. God was the biggest killer in the Bible. He killed all his people who had become hybridized by Noah's flood. He annihilated the 5 cities in the plain in Sodom and Gomorrah in a fire and brimstone massacre. He became the executioner of the lives of all the firstborn children of Egypt. He ordered the death of all the Canaanites in the Promised Land. God ordered the destruction of King Sihon and his descendants who fought against the Israelites. God intervened and fought against the inhabitants of Jericho and Ai, and he killed more men than Joshua's army when he fired weapons from the sky. He was stopped from completely killing off his entire nation by the intervention of Moses on 2 different occasions. Instead, he killed over 15,000 disobedient Israelites. God once ordered 111 of his people to end their marriages because they had married the wrong kind of woman. Ezra was so stunned about this situation that he tore his clothes and pulled hair out of his beard and head. He did not know what to do or where to turn except to his God. He offered up a public prayer, admitting that he was ashamed to form the Lord of the people's mixed marriages. The Apostle Peter was married. The Bible doesn't tell us her name, but says that Peter healed his wife's mother, Luke 4:38-39, or mother-in-law, Matthew 8:14-15, of a very high fever. Adam, Eve, Abel, Seth, Abraham, Noah, Isaac, and Jacob were not Jews. There was no religion in the days of Abraham known as Judaism. That's pretty good. And the person who wrote this book wasn't even a preacher. He was a journalist. His name was Joe Kovacs. But then he told of dividing of the kingdom into two separate and different parts. 10 tribes to the north, house of Israel, and 3 tribes to the south, the house of Judah. He then writes this statement, quote, "Thus, what was once a single kingdom of all the tribes of Israel became 2 kingdoms. It was the citizens living in the house or kingdom of Judah who bore the name of Jews." Now that last sentence is only partly true. It's mostly false. Sounds alike like British Israelism to me. He explained further, quote, "The northern kingdom of Israel never returned to its rightful land and became known as the lost 10 tribes of Israel. The Jews, however, did return to Jerusalem after their Babylonian captivity. That's why by the time Jesus was born, the land was once again filled with Jews, and the region was known as Judea, not Israel." And he further explains, quote, "The citizens of the southern kingdom became known as the people of Judah or Jews." That's on page 188 of his book, Shocked by the Bible. But this is not correct. The inhabitants living in the kingdom of Judah were people who were descended from Judah, Levi, Benjamin, and Edom. Most of the inhabitants were people who were descended from Edom. Some were descended from Judah and Levi, and a few from Benjamin, but many were from a mixed mongrel seed. Most of the inhabitants who were descended from Benjamin were living in Galilee, where Jesus spent most of his life. Not all the citizens who were living in the kingdom of Judah were Jews. The inhabitants of Edom and the other mixed seed mongrel were Jews, while the descendants of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin were Israelites. In Samaria were foreigners who were neither Jews nor Israelites. The Jews believed the tradition of the elders. The Israelites of the kingdom of Judah believed in the promises and the covenant that God made with their fathers. The foreigners in Samaria had their own special mixed-up religion. And the house of Israel were cut off from the anointed people of God and were without hope because they were divorced by God for over 700 years. All the inhabitants of Judea were translated as being Jews, Judeans, in the Bible around 1750. This includes both Israelites and Edomites. It was a new word in English as they did not use the letter J until then. The Jews falsely claimed to be of Judah because Judah received from God the right to rule, and that's exactly what the Jews want. Back to Mike Adams, I quote again from his website. Mike Adams identifies himself as a person of color whose descendants include Africans and American Indians. He self-identifies as being of American Indian heritage, which he credits as inspiring his Health Ranger passion for protecting life and nature against the destruction caused by chemicals, heavy metals, and other forms of pollutions. But then he says the following, quote, "Let's start with some basic genetics. Many of the people who self-identify as black in American society today have whites as ancestors. Yet they are still considered African Americans regardless of how white their ancestry is. Similarly, if a black mom and a white dad, for example, have a child, that child is accepted as black by the rest of society. If that child grows up and has another child, then that child is also considered black, regardless of the skin color of the other parent. In fact, what we might call blackness continues through an infinite generations. Any person who has just one ancestor who is black may consider themselves to be black, even if it's just a tiny percentage of their ancestry." This is worth repeating. It's accepted in modern society that you have just one ancestor who is black, or Indian, or Asian, so forth. then you are to correct to consider yourself a person of color, and you may identify yourself as black or Indian or Latino or Asian or whatever is appropriate for you. If anyone challenges by pointing out that your skin looks white, the correct response is to tell them it is inappropriate for you to judge black people by their skin color. This principle is the key to understanding that all people living today are of African descent and are thus people of color. To sum up, if two people and only two people start a family on the world devoid of any other humans, all humans that would come from them would be treated related, and their children would be related, and their children's children would be related, and so on and so on and so on. Anyone can be free to marry anyone else, for they all would be the same kind. That was a shock to me. Mike Adams thinks that all people in the earth, no exceptions, are descended from the black race. Well, after reading this about Mike Adams, I experienced another thing that I didn't know. It was during my break time at the airport that one of my fellow workers came in the break room too. She was called in because we were short of personnel. That's nothing new. And she had come in a half hour later than the regular shift. She was a Muslim. It was easy to tell as she was dressed with her whole body covered except for her face. The Muslims pray 5 times each day. I have caught her praying during our work hours. She was praying in the closet. We began by talking about her religion. I suggested to her that the Jews were getting the Christians and Muslims to kill each other. 9/11 was a secret operation performed by the Jewish Mossad and the United States inner upper government. These two groups caused the destruction and blamed it on the Muslims. This was the beginning of the war against her people. She then looked at me with a surprising look. She said, "You are correct. You know that we are not your enemy." I replied, "You believe that Jesus was a prophet like Muhammad?" She answered, "Yes, Muhammad was the last prophet. Jesus was a prophet too." I then replied, "But your people did not kill Jesus, for you hide him and you hold him in high regard. It was the Jews who both plotted his murder and executed it too. Do you know that they say that Jesus is now in hell, boiling in a hot pot of semen?" She didn't. I then said to her, "Let me ask you a question. What do the Muslims believe about where their races originated from?" She answered, "There's only one race. All races originated in Adam and Eve." That answer shocked me. I didn't know that was what the Muslims believed. I answered, "It's just like what Answers in Genesis believes. I don't believe that at all." I asked her, "What color were Adam and Eve?" She replied, "They were halfway between me and you, meaning they were tan colored, as she was black. She was a refugee from Somalia." Well, if Adam and Eve were a tan color, then they were not black. Answers in Genesis says the same thing as the Muslims do. Mike Adams needs to reconsider his position. All races are not descended from the black, but from the tan. The Judeo-Christians and the Muslims agree on the same thing on this question. When I got home, I Googled, "Do Muslims believe that every human being in the world today is related to Adam?" I wanted to be sure that she was correct about what the Muslims believe. Here's a response that I found from the Islamic website. Quote, "Yes, we are all children of the prophet Adam and Eve, as they were the first two human beings, and it is from them the first generations of mankind descended." On another Islamic website, I found this. Quote, "Adam is believed to have been the first human being and the first prophet on earth in Islam. Adam's role as the father of the human race is looked upon by Muslims with reverence. Muslims also refer to his wife Eve as the mother of mankind. So I looked at what the Jews believe about the origin of the races. And what did I find? Quote, Adam was the first human being and the progenitor of the human race. That's from my JewishLearning.com website. Now, they add a little twist to the story of Adam by saying that she had another wife, Lilith. She was supposedly Adam's first wife, who was ejected from Eden for insisting she should be Adam's equal. Lilith, wasn't that the name of the wife of Fraser in the comedy series by the same name and also Cheers? So we have Arabs, Jews, and most Christians all believing that we all came from the same father and mother, that is Adam and Eve. They all believed that Adam was the father and Eve the mother of the human race. That presents some unanswered questions about Adam and the situation that he lived in. First question, why was Adam placed in the Garden of Eden? The Arabs, Jews, and Judeo-Christians have to say that Adam was placed on a specific part of the earth to be nothing more than a specialized zookeeper. He was put in the garden to dress it and keep it. There were no other biped people around, just animals. What did he do all day? He had no other people to talk to, do things with. In fact, he was in solitary confinement. And what if Adam had never sinned? What would he do if there was no other person to relate to for an eternity? He was never sick. He didn't have to work at weeding the garden. What did he do all day? Did he just play with the animals? Adam lived in a very small part of the whole earth, the Garden of Eden. There were no weeds or thorns for Adam to get out of the ground. No watering to be done as was supplied with the right amount of water by God. What did Adam do? Adam wasn't born. He was formed. He didn't have a father or mother like we do. He was formed as a mature man with, as the Muslims and Judeo-Christians say along with the Jews, nothing much to do. Did he travel? There's a whole big earth outside of the garden. The garden was in the nation of Eden. But God could not find a wife for him of anyone who was alive on the earth at that time. Does that mean that none of the animals were suitable to be Adam's wife? How could Adam even talk to one of these four-legged beings? How silly to think that an elephant was a possible candidate to be the wife of Adam. But that is exactly what they think. But think about this for a moment. What about a beautiful Chinese woman? Or a Polynesian or a black woman? If God refused for Adam any of these women, doesn't that say that interracial marriage is wrong? And do you notice that it was God who refused the woman for Adam and it's not Adam himself? And why is it we have to ask the wife's father for permission to marry her? So God made Eve out of Adam's body. And he then said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24. So now the Muslims, Judeo-Christians, and Jews would have to say that Adam and Eve were both zookeepers. There are no other humans on the face of the earth. So who would come to see the animals? Answers in Genesis even says there was nothing older than 6,000 years in the entire planet. How far back do the black and oriental races go? Do you believe this Jewish fable that two tan people had all the genes of the different races, and when they had children, all the different races of the world would come from them? What nonsense. And why doesn't it happen anymore? And then the serpent intervened, and we have the verse in Genesis 3:15, which tells of a strange battle that is carried on until today. One, the serpent and the woman would have enmity. Two, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman would have enmity. Three, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, while the seed of the serpent would bruise the seed of the woman's heel. As a consequence, Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, and cherubims with a flaming sword would keep anyone from entering and eating the tree of life. Adam and Eve had a new home. It was no longer in the Garden of Eden, but they still lived in Eden. Two of their sons went to make an offering to God. One was a tiller of sheep, and the other a farmer. God accepted Abel's, the tiller of sheep's offering, and rejected Cain, the farmer. The farmer Cain became very angry and killed his brother. Cain became the first murderer in the Bible. And that brings us to our second question. What was Cain's punishment for the crime? The Bible doesn't tell us, but there are other books that inform us about the age Adam and Eve were, certain of the children were born. But these books are not scripture. So it's arguable if it's true or not. It can be implied by the scriptures that Cain and Abel were twins. But there are other books that say that Cain was 7 years older than Abel. And there must have been some lessons taught to the two sons by Adam, as they had to know that a sheep must be sacrificed for their sins. Cain brought what the farm produced. Abel brought a sheep for the slaughter. Cain's offering was rejected. Abel's was accepted. Eventually, Cain murdered Abel. Cain was a farmer, but no longer would the ground produce for him. And since he could no longer farm, he would be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. If there were no other people living on the earth at this time and Cain could not farm, where would he get his food to live? He would have to be a wanderer living on the food that grew naturally. But then it says he built a city. How could you build a city if there were just a few residents? And how could you get your food supply? Adam and his descendants could farm. Cain and his descendants are cursed, so they could no longer farm. Cain was kicked out of the land of Eden and dwelt in the land of Nod, which was to the east of Eden. And since he couldn't farm, he married and built a city. Why was Cain's ex-occupation a farmer? Who did he sell his supply of food to if there were no other people on the earth? Why was Abel a tiller of sheep? Who used the products that come from a herd of sheep? Cain's descendants became cattle ranchers, musicians, metalsmiths, and later teachers, lawyers, politicians, doctors, realtors, and so forth. Do you know of any group of people who are called wandering or vagabonds who mainly live in cities? When I lived in Tennessee, I had a plant that I bought from a nursery in my apartment. It was called the Wandering Jew. What a strange name for a flower. But now I know why it was called that, for it grew and it grew and it grew and it wandering all over the place until it grew on the floor. This is racial. All of Cain's descendants would be fugitives and would wander from place to place. It was their punishment. Who are these people? And if there aren't any, why does the Bible tell us the story? Third question, who did Cain marry? Well, if you want to get a wide variety of opinions, type that in Google. Let's see what Ken Ham wrote about this situation in his book, One Blood. Quote, also in Genesis 2:20, we are told that when Adam looked at the animals, he couldn't find a mate. There was no one of his kind. All this makes it obvious there was only one woman, Adam's wife, in the beginning. There could not have been other women who were not her descendants. It's on page 19. This is not true. God could have looked at the other races that were living on the earth and could not find a mate, for there was none of his kind. Adam was white and the other women were colored. Remember, they believe that Adam was placed here in the garden to be predominantly a zookeeper, as there were no other people on the earth. And for them to say that Adam was placed here to rule over the other races that had been here for quite a while would damage their equality theme that they have. And if God refused for Adam any of the races to be his wife, they would also hurt their argument for interracial dating and marriage. Ham then makes this drastic statement. Thus, if Christians cannot defend that all humans, including Cain's wife, can trace their ancestry ultimately back to Adam and Eve, then how can they understand and explain the gospel? How can they justify sending missionaries to every tribe and nation? One needs to be able to answer the question of Cain's wife to illustrate that Christians can defend the gospel and all that it teaches, unquote. That's the main question. Who did Cain marry? Did he marry a descendant of Adam, or did he marry one of another race? They have to say that he married his sister or other relative of Adam. According to Josephus, he writes that Adam had 33 sons and 23 daughters. So Cain married one of the 23 daughters of Adam. But would Adam give Cain the permission to marry one of his daughters? Cain was expelled from the land of Eden. Adam's daughter would have to leave Eden too if she married him. We say that he married a person of another race, probably an Oriental. That's the reason that we disagree that with the Muslims, Judeo-Christians, and Jews. All peoples are not equal and have not been equal from the beginning. Was there a civilization before Adam was even formed? How long did it exist? Was it destroyed? We know the dinosaurs were living. But when? Did the world then have advanced technologies? Did they have airplanes? Was their way of living in an advanced state? Was it similar to ours, or maybe even superior to ours? There are many Christians who would answer there were dinosaurs in the world that was, long before Adam was formed. And what about in Adam's time? Were there other races in existence? Most would say no, that Adam was the first man, but there are biblical scholars who would say that Adam was the first white man, and that there were people of color on the earth before he was formed. What was Adam's job? Why was he placed in the garden? Was he a ruler? When I was in Vienna, I visited the garden of that country's royalty. I'm telling you, it was very beautiful and very large. Was the royalty of Vienna similar to Adam and his residential garden? And what did he do with all the food that was produced in the garden? Was he an exporter of it to other peoples? I would think the garden would produce more food than Adam could consume. What did he do with the extra food that he had? What good would it do to just let it rot on the vine? What did he do if he was the only person in the world? No person to talk to or experience life with. No one to even give anything to. He didn't even have to wash his clothes, for he didn't have any. How old was Adam when he died? 930 years old. What? He lived 13 to 15 times longer than the average American does now. And it wasn't just Adam. All the generations of Adam till the flood of Noah lived almost 1,000 years. Touche evolution. Consider this. Adam had conversations with Methuselah, who talked to Noah. These three people were in existence for the first 2,000 years of the white race. They no doubt had conversations about their lives and what happened. There was a lot to tell about what God did for them and to the world. Many Christians don't know that not only did Noah and Abraham know each other, but that Abram lived with Noah and Shem for 39 years. From the birth of Arphaxad, Shem's son, born 2 years after the flood of Noah, until the birth of Abraham, it was only 292 years. Noah lived 350 years after the flood, and Shem 500 years. Noah's life overlapped, Abram's life overlapped Noah's life by 58 years, and Shem outlived Abraham by 35 years. My conclusion. What is the big deal if all races come from one set of parents like Adam and Eve? What, as Hillary said, difference does it make anyway if the Jews are part of Israel? The Jews are not a part of Israel, for Israel is commanded to be a separate, distinct people with prophetic utterances depict exactly what's going to happen to them. Israel is a holy seed race. Jews are a mixed, unholy seed race of mongrelized murderers, liars, haters of God and his people. If all races are just one race, the human race, and interracial marriages are the accepted way to go, then all races will be fused into one mixed seed, mongrelized product. There'll be no thoroughbred white race. All will be mixed seed, mongrelized Jewish race. The white race will be in existence no longer. God's word would have failed. He would no longer have a people that are his. Like in the days of Noah, this will never come to pass. But at the rate interracial marriages are happening now, it'll be very similar. Now, I've got two things I found on the internet I think are very good. This is called White Genocide 101. Question one. Why is it that every white country is forced to be multicultural, multiracial? Every country of Israel is forced to be this. Two. Why is it that every white country is told to end its own race and culture? Three. No one asked that of any non-white country. Four, immigration, assimilation, is forced only upon white countries. Five, anti-whites call themselves anti-racists, but their actions lead to elimination of only one race, the white race. The purpose of anti-racism is to genocide white children. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. And then a little cartoon at the end sums it all up. The voices inside the anti-white sick mind. Whites have white privilege. Non-whites are oppressed. But race doesn't exist. Yet I love racial diversity. And I celebrate our differences because we're all the same. So let's destroy diversity by mixing together, but only in white areas of the planet. But this is a genocide of whites, yet when we're done, whites won't exist anymore. LOL, they deserve it. And we won't allow resistance to this. We're not anti-white, and there is no white genocide. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.